I'm back with episode 2 of the Outlaw History Podcast. I said it right this time. This is going to be a little more of an informal episode because I have had the most insane week since episode 1 dropped, and things have changed quite a bit, and this podcast is suddenly a lot more visible than I ever expected that it was going to be. But joining me today is my guest slash co-host is one of my colleagues here at the Texas A&M History Department, Leslie Avila. Davila, did I say it right?
Davila, yeah.
Davila, Leslie Davila. Leslie, you sent me a little rundown, and I just kind of glanced at it, and the first thing I saw was, how many bachelor's degrees do you have?
I have 3.
Wow, why?
I don't like to choose, and I didn't like that they kept trying to get me to choose. So I was like, how about instead of picking one, I'll do 3.
Tell us what all your degrees are in.
Okay, so I have a Bachelor of Science in Sociology. I have a Bachelor of Arts in History, of course. And then UNT, my alma mater, offers this one program called Integrative Studies, where essentially you combine 3 minors into 1 major. So I got my degree in that, Bachelor of Arts in Integrative Studies, with concentrations in Spanish, International Studies, and Latino / Mexican American Studies.
That's really awesome. And you're a master's student here now, right?
Yes.
And you work on lynching culture, lynching vigilante violence. Tell us a little bit about what you're working on before we get into the other stuff.
Okay, so what I do is study racial violence, and I study that through the lens and framework of lynching. So I subscribe to the idea that lynching existed long before traditional studies, and it affected a broad range of people that don't often get talked about. So I'm trying to extend the time frame backwards and include more of the violence against Native Americans and Mexicans.
Excellent. We're going to have another conversation about that sometime, because now I want to know more about that. I forgot whatever it is I want to talk about. What do I want to talk about? Oh, I had a crazy week. Did you see what's happened this week?
Yeah, you blew up on Twitter.
Oh, man, it's the craziest thing that ever happened to me. I went, in the past 48 hours, I went from about 400 Twitter followers to right now, I'm a little over 6,000. Because I decided to go out on my carport and rant about stuff the other day.
I feel like that's the best way to connect with people. What's more relatable than going on a rant?
Exactly. So, what happened was, earlier this week, Smithsonian Magazine published an article by Dr. Carrie Lee Merritt about the need to renew the Ken Burns Civil War documentary, make better, make a better version of. And I very quickly saw that the usual suspects were coming out of the woodwork to attack her, mainly because she dared to go against the great name of Shelby Foote. And I have a little bit of a grudge about that going back a long time, just from the first time that I ever tried to watch the Civil War documentary, and I hate it every time. As soon as Shelby Foote comes on the screen and starts talking about, and he really is a fantastic storyteller, and he's very charming, and that's why he was so influential. But if you really know what he's saying, he is spewing just
nonsense.
Well, typical pseudo white supremacist lost cause horseshit.
I like that phrasing better.
There you go. So my former colleague, I think she finished before you got here, Dr. Rachel Gunter, texted me the other night with a link. She said, "Hey, I think you need to see this," because she knew that I was just waiting to go off on a tirade about Shelby Foote. And I didn't have time to do it that night. I ended up reading the article the next morning, and I was inspired to react to it. I had an idea of what I wanted to say, and I was thinking about how I could make it better. And I have these two Civil War Kepis that I bought at, there is a hat shop in Gettysburg. It's called Dirty Billy's Hats or something, I think. And I bought a Confederate infantryman's Kepi and a Union infantryman's Kepi when I went to, when I was in Gettysburg a few years ago with the West Point Summer Seminar on Military History. So I thought that it would be funny to do a little misdirection wherein I start wearing a Confederate cap and making it seem like I'm going to go one way, and then I do a complete 180 and put on the Union cap and go off on a tirade against the lost cause in this accent.
It was great. You need more hats. I feel like if anyone gets you anything, it needs to be hats.
Well, one of my new Twitter friends has already talked to me about he's going to send me a Union officer's Hardy hat from Gettysburg, so I'm very excited about that. I'll wear it around the office sometime, just for you.
Yeah, if I weren't a broke college kid, I'd get you all the hats.
Thank you. Guys, feel free to send me all the Civil War hats you want, all the historical hats you want. My hat size is double watermelon. So yeah, I did the rant, and I got to put over, there's a guy, a stand-up comedian that I'm a huge fan of. His name is Trey Crowder. The most famous person I've ever seen who has my name spelled the same wrong way. T-R-A-E. I think there's like a football or basketball player with that name now.
But as long as you admit that it's spelled wrong.
Oh, it absolutely is spelled wrong, and we both are. But you know what? That was the name my mama gave me, so there you go. So, are you familiar with him, the Liberal Redneck, the Well-Read Comedy podcast, any of that, Well-Read Comedy Tour?
No, I've only started, like, very recently started getting on the whole podcast freak, like, thing, so I'll add it to my list of podcasts to listen to.
Yeah, anybody listen to this that likes what I have to say, y'all go find the Well-Read podcast. Go buy tickets to the Well-Read Comedy Tour. Go buy a copy of the Liberal Redneck Manifesto, Dragon Dixie Out of the Dark. And go buy Well-Read Live from Lexington. Their album just dropped last week, and it is fantastic. And if you are a Southerner who loves the South but also wants to live in the 21st century, they are going to be right in your wheelhouse. And that became my inspiration for, you know, doing a little misdirected ranting. And in my mind, that might have been viewed a couple of hundred times, and I might have gotten a few dozen followers. And it went absolutely insane to the point that I just can't even process it. I am completely overwhelmed.
I like that even our professors and older people of our cohort are like tuning into your newfound fame. And these are people who are like, oh, technology is rotting the brains of the young people, and even they know that you're blowing up on Twitter.
Yeah, I've heard through the grapevine that people in the department are talking about me, and they're impressed with what I did. I was a little bit concerned, not concerned enough to not do it, but I was like, oh, I better send this to my advisor and make her aware of it. And I told her, like, hey, I did a thing and it kind of got away from me, and so I hope you're not embarrassed or anything. But she loved it. And
well, yeah, it's getting your name out there. It's talking about something that you're clearly passionate about and something you clearly know a lot about. So it was only going to help you.
Yeah. So once our incoming department head, Dr. Carlos Blanton, shared it and liked it, I figured at least I wasn't in trouble at work. What did the kids say? I can't even. I finally understand not being able to even.
No, that's dead.
Is it?
Yeah, we've moved on. I mean, people still use it, but we've moved on.
Is it mostly like 30-somethings like me who don't keep up with the new slang that are still using it?
No, it's like almost retro. Like, it like leaves and then it comes back because people like insist on using it rather than using what else. Just come up. Internet slang.
Well, this has been an edition of the Cyclical Slang Podcast.
Like, just how are you feeling? Because I feel like now you're spending a lot of time on Twitter, and I'm all for it because it makes my feed interesting. seeing all your responses and like going through that, but also I worry that it's gonna suck you in.
It has. It's very new. I think that I'll get more used to it. I'm just really, really having fun with it right now because I've been trying to get people to pay attention to me for years, and now people are, and I want to talk to every one of them.
At least you're not a troll on the weekend. Except to the people who are trolled to you, like, who are trolling you first, then that's fine, because they...
I don't troll anybody who doesn't butcher my history.
That's a good way to put it. I will steal that.
You're welcome to it. It's awesome, and it's the coolest thing that has ever happened to me, and I'm so excited that I might be able to channel this into being able to do the projects that I am passionate about. We'll see what happens. I am so deeply touched by all the people who have said such wonderful things about what I said and, you know, loving my voice, loving me speaking the truth in this voice. That's what it's all about. And the reason I did this is that we have a huge problem with the way we understand our history here in the South, especially among white Southerners. Leslie, I don't know if you know this or not, but white Southerners can be very proud, stubborn people.
Well, I'm Texan, so.
They don't like to be told things by Yankees or liberal elites or anybody with an education. So I thought that I should seize the role to be the Southern white historian who is going to tell the South the truth about our history.
I also think it helps that you have a really commanding voice. Like it just draws you in. Like, I just want you to keep talking all the time. Which is a problem because I also talk a lot, so.
I'll keep talking as long as people keep listening. When did you notice what was happening to me and what did you think about it?
I'm on Twitter a lot. I know I shouldn't use it as when I'm giving myself a break because it's a black hole that will suck you in. But I still do. And so I go onto Twitter a lot. And I noticed that you had, like, you were responding to people significantly more. And then you tagged me in something. And I was like, what? And I went through it. And then I commented that we need all the Ida B. Wells statues because we do.
Yes.
Because she needs a million.
Yes.
And then absolutely. Some. And then I was like, how did this even start? And so, and then I noticed we were talking to Thomas. And so I was like, oh. And so then I read through everything. And then I just kind of kept following you. And then yesterday after one of our classes, we went out to drink with Dr. Sipes, who's a professor here at A&M, and he mentioned that you were blowing up. So, like a proud little duckling, I was like, look! And I, like, pulled up your Twitter. I was like, look, like, you guys don't understand. He literally had 400 followers. And he's blowing up.
Oh, it's just absolutely incredible. And when I came into the office yesterday morning, the morning after, you were the first to go, you're so famous now!
Yeah! Well, not everyone is as addicted to social media as me, so we can forgive them for it taking a little longer.
Yeah, absolutely can forgive them, and I am excited to ride this train wherever I can to make whatever of it I can, to use this as an opportunity to get my scholarship and my thoughts out into the world, and I'm very pleasantly surprised at how many people seem to want to hear them.
Well, I also think I'm not trying to put you in a box, but I feel like when you think of like a Southerner, I feel like, you know,
that's why it's fun to do the misdirection.
I know, that's why it was so funny when you did it, because you really did make it seem like you were going to be like pro-Confederacy. And then you switched, and I was like, that's the train we know and love. Because I wasn't worried, but I was like, a little worried.
A lot of people who didn't know me were worried. But that was perfect. That was a desired effect.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, to know you is to know your beliefs, know who you are. And so, even the people who know you, we were like, what is he doing? Where is he going with this? And then that misdirection. So it didn't just fool the people who didn't know you. It fooled the people who do too.
Well, that's amazing. I'll take my Oscar, please.
Can I go with, if you ever get invited to the Oscars, can I go with you?
Of course, of course.
I'll be like all the people who are like secretly fangirling over Beyonce, but also in addition to fangirling over like Beyonce, I'll fangirl over everyone who's there.
I'll also fangirl over Beyonce.
Who doesn't?
Right? So yeah, that's been my week. It's been very interesting.
No, see, because that started your week, and then you saw Endgame.
Yeah, and then I did. Okay, if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame yet, turn off the podcast, come back after you listen to it. Spoilers ahead. We are about to spoil the shit out of this movie. Do not go any further. Oh my god, it was so good. Oh, it's my favorite movie ever.
Oh my god, it was so... I cried so hard, and it was awful. Because I knew I was going to cry, and I was like, oh, I'll bring tissues with me. But then I didn't, and I should have. And so I was just sitting there with, like, my blanket, because I took a blanket with me to the movie theater. And I was, like, trying to, like, hide my face. But also I couldn't, because I couldn't stop watching, and I was just, like, tears everywhere.
So what time was your showing?
12:15.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I still showed up to work the next day.
I went, my wife and I went at 6:30. And so I had already seen the movie and gotten home, and I was watching you live tweet preparing to see the movie. And I was just so excited that, oh, she's about to get her mind completely blown.
It was a little weird. I was the first person in the movie theater. For our showing, like, I went in right after they had finished cleaning, and so then I got to watch people like come in, and I noticed after it was like me and like six or seven guys that it was me and six or seven guys, so that's when I started to keep count. And I lost count, unfortunately, because they dimmed the lights, but at my last count it was like 19 girls.
Where did you go? Did you go to Cinemark or the premiere?
No, I went to the...
Did you go to Star Cinema Grill?
Yeah.
That's where I went. Yeah, I had been to one of those before, but I hadn't been to that one. And I have a Cinemark membership where I get free, like, I get movie tickets every month. I get credits. But when in-game tickets went on sale, the app, I couldn't get into the app. So I checked Star Cinema Grill, and I managed to get the... an early showing. We were in like the second row because that was where my wife and I could get two seats together. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. What'd you eat?
Cheese fries.
I had the some kind of jalapeno burger. It was really good.
So I'm going to say this and hope that like no official ever hears it and bans me from movie theaters. But I always take candy with me. But I still buy from the movie theater. Yeah. I also get like a Dr. Pepper because, again, I'm Texan. And cheese fries. Cheese fries are my weakness. But I also took with me M&Ms and Sour Punch straws and
sour cream. And the great thing about the Cinema Grill is that, you know, you can just get your drinks refilled and don't have to miss the movie. Now, how'd you do with, a lot of people were concerned about having to go to the bathroom during the movie. Did you manage okay?
Oh, yeah, no, I was fine.
Yeah, I went right before, and I drank two huge glasses of Coke, and I was still totally fine. So, apparently, a lot of moviegoers out there got some weak bladders.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long movie, but, like,
it so was, worth but it. It was so, so worth it. So, what'd you think of the way the movie started?
I liked it. I like that they did the kind of like the background and then like trying to figure out what was going on. I was upset that Thor was the one who killed Thanos at the beginning because I was Team Nebula killing her abusive dad. But also, Thor also went through a lot. So I was right. Like, you know what? If it couldn't be Nebula,
I was
kind of glad it was Thor.
I was rooting for Nebula to kill Thanos, but the way that they set that up where Thor just chops his head off with Stormbreaker and then someone asked, what are you doing? And he just said, I went for the head. That was so perfect. I feel so delightfully pandered to. I got every single thing that I wanted. I got everything that I didn't know I wanted. It was just freaking incredible. So we start with, we're on Hawkeye's farm and he's with his family and you know what's about to happen. And you watch it and it just breaks your heart.
I specifically remember telling Marvel that they were not allowed to touch Cassie Lang or any of the Barton children. So I was mad.
I think...
because the children.
I think everybody pretty much suspected that...
yeah, we knew.
Did it go from there to Tony and Nebula in the ship?
Yeah, and he let her win the game. I was like, finally, someone let my girl win.
That was really great. And I was wondering, everybody was wondering, how did they get out of space? And I think most people suspected Captain Marvel. And a lot of people, you know, the kind of shitty people that would have huge problems with Captain Marvel being the amazing hero that she is. But it's like, I watched my wife go to those movies and then like, she watches Captain Marvel and she feels what I feel when I watch Captain America. I have my perfect vision of a hero right there. And I'm so excited that so many women get to have that with Captain Marvel.
Yeah, our space mom?
Absolutely, yeah.
With that haircut? Ooh.
Oh, I love the little bob. That was so cute. Yes. I love it. And then we started to get into the story then, right? When this movie did not at all go the direction I thought it was. When they killed Thanos within like the first 15 minutes, I'm like, what is going to happen now? Yeah, so everybody was complaining, or not everyone, but many people were complaining during Infinity War that the Black Order kind of got the shaft and didn't get to be involved in a big battle. And then they brought them all back through the miracle of quantum time travel, and we get to have our huge battle. And when it finally, when the battle really gets going, when they undo the snap and everything, people start to come back. All the Doctor Strange holes start to come in and everybody's coming through them. And it's just like the theater, like when T'Challa and Shuri and Okoye come out and like everybody's clapping, and then it's Spider-Man, and it was just...
my son, Peter. I was so happy when he showed up, but I'm going to say something a little controversial. So I was afraid that the battle was going to turn out along the lines of the one that the Twilight one did, where everything was like, you have this huge battle and you're like reeling at the losses of the people, and then it turns out that it wasn't real, or that everything was going to be undone. So that was... I always get afraid with like time travel, yeah. But that's what was going to happen, because they killed all these like creatures and beings who were from 2014. So I was like, what did that just undo?
Yeah, you know, I am curious about how the universe is going to be structured going forward. I guess we'll start to find that out.
With Homecoming.
Yep. Far From Home.
Far From Home. Far From Home. He was so sad. that killed me, his line when he was like, we won, Mr. Stark.
Oh.
And Tony just hugged him. I'm not crying, but
I was not emotionally ready for so much of that movie. I just gotta say, what I loved and just I felt like they made that movie just for me was Captain America got to be the star, and I love Captain America. I love everything he did in the movie. I love his entire journey. I love that he got
America's ass.
He's got America's ass. They even did the nod to the Hydra cap. I love that. Love that so much. And then just like, I was just giddy when Captain America was fighting Captain America. That was almost more than I could handle.
Yeah. I can't pinpoint like an exact moment that I was like, oh, this was my favorite moment. Oh, this was my favorite.
Oh, I can absolutely tell you my favorite moment of the entire movie.
Okay, so go for it.
Cap finally wields Mjolnir. Thor is fighting Thanos. Thanos is about to drive Stormbreaker into Thor. And you kind of see it looks like Thor is trying to summon Mjolnir. But then somebody else is controlling Mjolnir. And it hits. And there's Captain America with the shield and Mjolnir. And I almost just started sobbing. And then Thor looks at Cap with Mjolnir and goes, "I knew it." And I'm like, "So did I!" Because you remember in Age of Ultron when they're all playing
when
with
it
the,
moves?
Yes.
Yes. I knew he was like, "Oh, you know, I'm going to save Thor's feelings. I'm not going to pick it up."
Cap's just too good a man. And then there's the part where they're going back and forth with Stormbreaker and Mjolnir. They end up switching them. They're like, "Give me that one." And
no, you get the tiny one.
It was really fantastic. I loved it so much. I screamed when Cap finally said Avengers Assemble.
Like actually scream?
A subdued movie theater scream, but still a scream. My wife looked at me like I was out of my damn mind. Which, to be fair, I was, because I have been waiting for that moment for 20 movies. It was perfect. I got everything I wanted. And we can talk about the time travel paradoxes that this created. And I know the next movies are going to have to address all that. But I was just so happy that Steve got his happy ending.
I'm glad Steve got his happy ending. I really am. Like, he deserved it. But I was just so... And I think many fans are just so upset that, like, Tony was robbed. And the way that he was robbed, and like poor Peter Parker had to witness the death of his third father figure. Like minutes after waking up from the, like coming back from the snap, he comes back from like this huge battle, and then he's thrown into another battle, like this poor teenager.
And that's all absolutely true, but I'm going to make a couple of points as to why I think that was the perfect ending for Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark character. Number one, he started the franchise. It started with Iron Man in 2008. This whole Endgame caps off, like, it's caps off several phases, but it really kept... There's going to be an MCU before Endgame and an MCU after Endgame. And this was the perfect climax of Tony Stark's story. He talked about it. He mentioned in the movie, in Age of Ultron, he knew something like this was coming. And he wanted to build a shield of armor around the Earth. And he felt like he had failed. That they had failed. They all failed. That was a recurring theme, that our heroes had to acknowledge that they lost. And the other thing, it seemed like a just ending. And I really appreciate that they showed the funeral. And you see the people closest to Tony, especially the daughter, Morgan, and Pepper Potts, and Happy. And they even have the kid from Iron Man 3
Harley.
In there. Yes.
Why was Harley so far in the back? Like, I feel like he should have, you know? And he was by himself. I guess because maybe they didn't know him, but I don't know.
Yeah.
If he was important enough to be invited to the funeral, I feel like he should have been further up. Tony's original son.
There were a lot of people there. But you really get the sense that everyone felt a sense of loss, but they understood Tony's sacrifice. When he's dying, when Pepper gets to his side and she just tells him, "We're going to be okay." That almost made the waterworks start.
That was one of the moments I could, yeah. But also, can we just talk about how badass Pepper Potts is?
Oh, as a rescue. She was awesome.
She was just amazing. Just like whenever they were like back to back fighting, I was like, yes Pepper, you deserve. Take them down.
And man, I love the climactic moment so much, because we had the earlier theme of Thanos saying, "I am inevitable." And he's about to redo the snap and completely destroy the universe and recreate it. And Tony hits him and pulls the switcheroo. Thanos realizes he doesn't have the Infinity Stones. Tony Stark has them.
God, that's when I knew Tony was gonna die. I was like, no. Tony.
It's so perfect because you remember the ending of the original Iron Man. When he said, I am Iron Man. It's so perfect. He has the stones and he looks at Thanos and he says, I am Iron Man. And then he snaps. And then Thanos' whole army gets dusted. And it was the perfect climax to the story that began with Iron Man.
I feel like I could talk forever about Endgame because, like, also talk about Wanda and her fight with Thanos and how...
That was epic.
You took everything from me. I don't even know you. You know.
She crushes him
with his freaking armor.
And there's the moment where Captain Marvel is trying to get the gauntlet to Scott's van.
Oh my god.
All the women just all...
When Peter, like, right before that, when Peter's like, hi, I'm Peter Parker.
Hey,
Peter Parker, do you have something for me? God, Brie Larson's snark is just, like, perfect.
It's like... That moment with Thor made the trailer when he summons Stormbreaker and she just smirks at him and he goes, I like this one.
And she just like narrows her eyes at him like, who are you?
And oh my god, Thor as the big Thorbowski. That was, I did not see it going that way, but it was amazing.
But it made perfect sense.
It did.
Poor Thor was like suffering from terrible PTSD.
He was dealing with terrible PTSD.
He lost his entire family within like couple of years, like his mom, then his dad, then Loki, then Loki again, because we all know he just likes to die and come back.
I'm just, every question that I have is gonna be related to how are all of these new timelines gonna be rectified, because there are so many weird things happen. Like, is there a Loki out there since he managed to teleport away with the Tesseract?
Well, of course. And he has his show that he's going to do with Disney Plus. Like, Loki and Vision both have shows.
Oh.
So, I feel like that's kind of how they solve that. It's like, oh, Loki's alive because he took the Tesseract in 2014.
Are you a comics person? Were you a comics person growing up?
I kind of, I don't know, I fell into the Avengers by first falling into X-Men and like the show on Toon Disney or whatever it was. And then I have this thing where I get like hyper obsessive. And so I need to find out everything I can possibly find out about things.
I have the same issue.
So,
addictive personality.
Yeah, so first with the X-Men, and then when they came into their interactions with the Avengers, then I had to learn everything about the Avengers. And then, like, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Yeah, so I never read comics growing up. I got really into the superhero movies, and I just got so into the MCU that I then started reading comics. And it's just not a form of media. I love the stories, but it's not a way that I want media presented to me. So what I like to do, just so I can get the stories, is you go on YouTube and there are people who do these really awesome videos where they explain the whole stories, and that'll get you caught up on your comics lore.
I do need to get more into the comics. That way I can see everything and know everything and be comforted.
Are you going to go see it again?
Yeah, probably.
Absolutely.
Probably not until like next week. Probably not until after the semester wraps up, because I'm really throwing a wrench into my own timeline. So I'm watching Hamilton tomorrow. So like,
you're going to Hamilton?
Yes, I'm going to the Dallas production of Hamilton.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it only took like 2 years of singing the songs nonstop and like hammering them into my boyfriend's head to get him to get tickets. To go watch it. Also, it's easier now that it's in Dallas, and that's only a 3-hour drive.
Well, we did about 15, 20 minutes on my week and 15 to 20 minutes on Endgame, and I reckon we can call that a podcast. I know that this wasn't a full-scale interview this week. I had two different ones line up that I had to rain check on for different reasons, but both of those interviews will be forthcoming. I plan on recording a show this weekend about Confederate Heritage Month. Ooh. That's going to be fun. Shella Rittenberry and I are going to do that.
Shella. Love her.
So, Leslie, tell us where to find you on social media.
Don't even bother adding me on Facebook because that's for like family only.
Yes, also don't add me on Facebook, but you can like Outlaw History on Facebook.
Yeah. So my username is That Chingona on Twitter, which loosely translates into that fucking bitch because I'm very stubborn. So
I love it.
Yeah, just caution. Should probably change that to make it more professional, but meh.
It's up to you.
Yeah. So, like, feel free to talk to me more about Avengers in the DMs. I have a lot of feeling.
Yeah.
A lot to say.
DM us about Avengers. Don't do it on the time. People ain't seen the movie yet. Do not ruin Endgame for people, y'all. Yeah, that is an asshole thing to do.
Don't do that. But 100% welcome to my DMs and we'll talk about it and about all the ladies of Endgame and all the gentlemen and that deserved better. And, or if you're just curious about racial violence in the 19th century, hit me up with that as well.
As I often am. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and doing a show with me today.
Of course. Anytime you have me back.
Anytime. Follow Leslie at That Chingona. Follow me at Outlaw Historian. This has been the Outlaw History Podcast, and we'll talk to y'all again after a while.